Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party they gon' have? Out in the St. John's swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Make sure that you got your ears on. I want you to hear something that was way back when, and back in the old school days, sung by Al Green. Just a few bars. Here we go. He had a message, ladies and gentlemen, because he knew what was coming down the pike.
California homeowners.
And I want you guys to hear this.
Okay,
I want you to
bill,
really hear this.
And you have a mirror that looks.
Okay, hold on. We're going to catch this. Here it comes. Change gonna come. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. A change gonna come. This guy was way before his time. He says for us to back up the train. There was a reason for that. Because he knew a change was gonna come. Those of you who know me, I love music. I love all kinds of music. I think it goes back to the grassroots of our country. So made this world, whether it be country, rap, crap, whatever you want to call it, blues, soul. I love Motown. But if you listen to the emotions in Al Green's voice, this man went from a singer to a preacher. And he did drugs, and he was a philanderer, and one of his wives threw a hot skillet of grease on him when she found out, and he rejoiced quicker than hell, and he saw God. But if you listen to some of the tunes that the singers did back in the 60s, 70s, you say to yourself, my God, it's what's going on today, folks. So back up that train. The change is already here. It's really crazy as hell. I just thought, you guys, if you never heard these two tunes, and it's by Al Green, amazing, amazing artist, you might want to look him up and listen to some of his stuff. The guy was a genius as far as I'm concerned. Well, rock star, who we got with us tonight?
We've got Tom. We got this week with Father Ray and Miss B.
So we got you and me. And we got Father Ray, we got the Swede, and who else?
We've got Will and Miss D.
Miss D is with us tonight. Wow, that is so cool. Before we do anything, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like for everybody to bow your heads in silence while we listen to Father Ray give a farewell prayer to one of his brethren who just passed away yesterday, a fellow priest. Father Ray, would you be kind enough to lead us in prayer for the father who just passed yesterday?
In the
dead
name
air
of the
once again, rock star. Come on, help me.
Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Loving God, at this time of sorrow, we commend into your hands our brother priest, Father Robert Badger. He died earnestly trying to serve you, and when his love for us came into the Catholic Church, Lord, seeking the truth, and he found it in the Church, and he became a priest of Jesus Christ. You have called him to yourself. Please bless him. Forgive any sins he may have committed through human weakness. Bring him to yourself and to your company of angels and saints in heaven. Help his family who mourn his loss and help the parishioners of St. Joseph Parish and Holy Trinity Parish, who also mourn his loss, as they continue in the faith that he so bravely and so vigorously and zealously taught and lived. We make this prayer in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen.
Amen, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, that was our Father Ray giving a wonderful prayer for one who has gone now, who went to go see his maker. He's up there in paradise, Father Robert Badger. And I know he'll still be doing his work and the work that he's done. There'll be so many people to cherish his name because he has helped and done so much for so many. Father Robert Badger, and I think he died at the age of 48. Young man, ladies and gentlemen. So it doesn't, no matter if you're 1 year old or you're 101 and anywhere in between, you don't escape, believe me. When it's your time coming home, it's your time. Thank you, Father Ray. I appreciate that immensely, and I'm sure his family does also. Last
You're
week
welcome.
We had an interesting guest, Miss D. She's a great gal. She called me 2 or 3 days after she was on the show. And she says, Tom, she said, you made me feel so much easy on the show. You didn't criticize me. You didn't laugh at me. You didn't tell me I was crazy or anything else. I'd like to tell you another story. And, oh, by the way, my other person who I love and I live with, he's a man of the law. And I asked him, should I tell Tom and the people on the radio station about our other encounter? And she says, you know what, I'm going to call Tom and ask him. Without any further ado, let's talk to Miss D and let's say hello to her. Miss D, you out there?
Yes, sir.
How are you this evening?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
And by the way, thank you for coming back, and thank you for calling me and telling me the story. I'm sorry how you got the wrong number tonight from Rockstar,
okay.
But you're on anyway. Okay. That's the main number, right?
Yep.
Okay. Rocky, she said you gave her my number, my personal number, to call to get on the show tonight.
Rocky, well, that was the other one I had. That was the only other one I had, was his and this one. I didn't have this one before.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So when you gave it to me, then I had it and I could call.
Okay. Well, listen, and we got you now. So without any further ado, let's hear your tales. And you got the stage. Let's do it all.
Okay. This one's a wild one, you guys. And if you can explain it, please say you've seen something like it, too.
Wait, let's prep everybody. Everybody, you got your seatbelts on? And you got yourself a little brew or a Coca-Cola or a piece of pizza or something, dessert? Get ready for it. Miss D's going to give you a wild one right
story.
Now. There you go, Miss D.
Okay. It was July 3rd. 2014. It was a few months after I had seen the Bigfoot thing, and this is why it was so surprising to me. We were sitting out on I just met Jeff, and we were sitting out on his deck, and I had told, we were just discussing our lives, you know, meeting each other, getting to know each other, and I had told him a story that I had brought my grandfather back from California and that I had seen something in the sky. And I said, you can't tell me it wasn't. I said, it was silver and black, and it's shiny, and it was flipping up and around in the sky like it was playing. And I said, I saw one. And they said, oh, yeah, you need a little aluminum hat and all this stuff, right? So when I seen this, I about blew my socks off because we were sitting on the deck. And on the 3rd of July, that evening as it started to get dark, the little town next to us, which is about probably 5 miles away, up in the sky, you could see shadows. There were shadows of ships. They were like saucer ships. There was probably about over a dozen of them. Jeff noticed them. He called me out and he says, get over here now. He says, look at that. And I'm looking and I'm like, oh, Jeff, call the cops. No, can't do that. Because then he says, I'll be the one wearing the aluminum hat. And he goes, and I'm like, okay, what are we going to do? He says, we're just going to watch. Okay. So we did. They stayed for quite a while. And we went to bed, actually. They were still there. The next night, and Jeff had to make a comment that night, the 3rd of July. You know tomorrow's the 4th of July. Oh, God. Then that just freaked me out. So then I'm sitting there, and the next night, we seen the same thing. And that was getting freaky. And then the next two nights, we didn't see anything. But the night that the 4th of July was going on, when we seen them again, the fireworks were going off. So they were off to the side of the town, but the whole town was kind of lit up from the fireworks and the carnival. And you could see the shadows, and you could see them very clear. Every time the fireworks would go off, you could see them. So, well, again, we went to bed, leaving it alone. And I'm like, Jeff, I think we should do something. Well, Saturday went by, nothing happened. Sunday, we're sitting on the deck again, and it's about 5:30, 6 o'clock. It's early, you know. It's bright, sunny, beautiful day. And I had set my cigarettes on the table, patio table there, and he was standing in the corner of the deck, and I turned around to walk towards the table, and I should explain, Jeff's house was in the corner lot, and on the side of our house was probably about 3 acres that was just plain bare grass. And then there was a little dead-end road that was probably about 50 feet long, and then there was a house. But back behind the houses, we had a cornfield behind ours, and then there's like a ravine that went through there, like a deep ditch, but it was pretty wide. Well, when I turned around, I see Jeff just like in a dead stare, and I turn around, and there's, oh, you guys won't believe this, there were two orange balls that were huge. They were quiet. You couldn't hear nothing, but they were moving, and they came down that ravine right in our lot. They dropped down. And they just kind of slowly went down the ravine. I automatically, not thinking, run down the steps. Now, this ravine is only like 15, 20 feet away from us, okay? We could see everything about this thing. And the thing about it was such a beautiful orange. It was an orange goldish color. It was beautiful. It was really pretty color. And in it was, there was a, it was so round, and it had three tiers of windows in it. And there were five windows across each row. And there were seats in there. When I got down to the ground, I was like only 15 feet from this thing, these things, I should say. And I'm staring at it, and I could see things in the first one go by me. And I could see shadows of things every so often in one of these seats. And the second one comes, and there's like three or four at the bottom of them that are sitting in these seats staring out these windows. And the last one in the last corner, he locked eyes with me. And it was like I couldn't think. This is really bizarre. It was like I was frozen, but I wanted to follow it. And I started to follow it. I ran after it. And Jeff, he just was frozen on the deck. He didn't move. He didn't know what to say. He just stood there. And I'm screaming at him, get your phone, get your phone. That's a $1 million picture. I said, Jeff, nobody's going to get a shot like this. He didn't move. So I start running after it because they kept going down the ravine real slow, but that one kept staring at me. And I was watching every detail because I was expecting little green men. It wasn't. They were, oh, God. They were, they looked like, honest to God, like Sasquatches, but they were more smaller build. And on their, It was on their right side. Every one of them had it, too. On the right side of their skull, it was like you could see like a little ripple. It wasn't very high, like a crow on a rooster, but it was very small. But you could notice it was very defined, I guess is the word I'm looking for. And as I went towards it, it was like that thing was drawing me in almost. It really was. It was like I didn't have a thought in my head except follow, you know, go. And I kept walking towards it closer and closer. And then I started thinking about radiation all of a sudden for some reason. And then I heard, this is really weird, I heard a voice behind me. And I swear it was my guardian angel. But it said, they take people. And I just froze in my, didn't move any further. They continued down. I thought about it. I thought I should follow and see where they're going. I didn't. But that was my little episode. Jeff kind of came out of it after they disappeared. I'm screaming at him like, why didn't you grab your phone? But, yeah, it was quite the experience.
Now, was Jeff in the law enforcement then?
Pardon me?
Was Jeff in law enforcement then?
No, he'd been retired, I think, 5 or 6 years at that time.
Okay. All right.
He was
investigator,
homicide. What did he? Oh, he did everything. He did it all. He's well known, put it that way. So that's why I don't think he wants to talk so much about it, but he's opening up on it, you know. He's hearing stories from other people that are policemen, and he's like, listen to this. He heard a story, and he'll tell me about it. And so he's starting to open up more about it.
You know, talking is a very soothing situation. They call that therapy, you know. Therapy is something that's good for the mind, good for the soul, good for all of us, all right? I learn every day. You know, I'm in my 70s, and there's not a day that goes by that I don't learn something.
Yeah.
And I chalk it up. And I put it in my archives for later dates coming up. And, you know, you just did something for me tonight that I want to introduce and let everybody know about it, at least here on the West Coast. Tonight there's going to be the biggest meteor shower from 12 midnight to 5 in the morning out here on the West Coast. You'll see hundreds of thousands of meteors. They look like shooting stars, folks. And
cool.
I have a hard time sleeping anyway, so I got one of these, like, lazy boy chairs out there on my patio, and I'm going to have my earphones on, listening to some my great music, and I'm going to watch the shooting stars and the showers of the meteorites tonight, or meteors, I guess they call. But, if I'm in New York, 3 hours different, so it'll be 9 o'clock over there, which it already is, so they've probably got it going right now as we speak. But, ladies and gentlemen, get a chance. This is once in a lifetime, I think. I don't know, every 20 years, 30 years, maybe 5 years. I don't know. But I remember hearing about it, and I know it's happening tonight, and I'm going to be one that's going to be watching it for sure. Mrs. D, I want to thank you very much. And if you muster up other stories, money, your friends, relatives, whatever, neighbors, feel free to call us, and we'd love to hear their thoughts also, okay?
There is a little more to that story if you want to hear it.
There's more?
We moved from that house.
But, well, wait a minute. How come you always give me the lick of the lollipop and you never give me the lollipop?
I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead. Give me the lollipop.
Okay.
I'm waiting.
It's short. But right after that, we moved Barbie about a half a mile from there. We bought a house, and I was sleeping in one of the spare rooms. And that night, I was laying in bed, and all of a sudden, I felt like there was something in my room. And I opened my eyes, and there's something standing in front of me. Now, I'm a Christian. I don't believe in this stuff, but, man, anyway, this thing was standing right in front of me, and I could describe him to a T. He had a big, like a Texan belt on, buckle. That's what I saw first. Then I looked at him, and it's like I could see blue jeans. I could see a wife beater type t-shirt, and I looked into its face, and it had no face. It had dark brown hair. He had his hands in his pocket, and the weird part about it, these fingers were like alien fingers. It was very, very queer.
How big, how tall you think he was?
He was no bigger than probably 5'3", 5'4". He wasn't tall. He was a small built man. I just covered myself with the covers because I got scared. I'm screaming.
And you said he had cowboy boots and jeans on?
Huh? Pardon me?
Is that right?
He had what on?
Cowboy boots and jeans.
I didn't see cowboy boots. I did see the jeans, and I seen the belt buckle.
And you saw a T-shirt.
And a wife beater T-shirt. Wife beater T-shirt. Okay. He had brown hair. But his fingers were very long and freaky looking. I just screamed, and I screamed, Jesus. And I sat there and laid with my head in the car. I thought, that's stupid, Donnie, standing right there. I flipped my covers over, and he was gone. Never had a problem with it after that, though.
I wonder if you were getting involved with some kind of skinwalking situation, skinwalkers.
I thought of that, too, because that's kind of a definition of a wraith, you know?
Uh-huh.
A wraith, is that how you say that, wraith?
I don't know if Chief Dan was on, he'd tell you exactly what you're seeing, and he'd either tell you it was peyote that you're smoking or you had a real encounter.
No, sir. I'm just joking with you.
No,
I know.
But
I guess I'm more comfortable not talking about because people have laughed at me and stuff, and I'm like, this ain't funny. There's something going on here. This is weird.
No, I get it. And is Chief Dan on Rockstar?
No, sir, he's not.
He's not. Okay. My God, is it almost half the... God almighty, it's almost 7:30. All right, listen.
I'm sorry.
If you get any more stuff,
okay,
just mute yourself out. I want you to hear the rest of the show because Father Ray and Will's going to do their part. I've been getting more calls, more texts from people about what the two of these guys are talking about from the beginning of time. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I want to get Will. Will, you out there?
I'm here.
You're blowing my audience's mind around the globe with some of this stuff you and Father Ray are talking about.
I'm loving it, man. I'm loving it because everybody seems to have got stagnant. And I don't like that date anymore, Tom. 1958, they coined the term Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to remind them it's an American story, and we can take it back to the old world.
You know, and I'm glad you said that because even those early pictures, people were hoaxing them then when they, you know, showed these long guns, and they had a bear up, stringing it up on a tree, ready to skin it,
uh-huh,
the meat. Then somebody did something to it and made it look like a Bigfoot. Remember that picture?
I've seen the like, yes. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
And, you know, it's stuff like that and the Iceman and all that kind of stuff. It's just an amazing story that when people really get into this stuff. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, there's so much going around, especially on the East Coast. I can't divulge too much, but I'll give you my lick of my lollipop right now, just like Miss D does, okay? They've had some encounters. They've seen a couple of creatures, and they're closing in. I can just tell you that, and that's all I'm going to tell you right now, because what's going to happen now is I'm going to do the second half to Will and Rockstar and the Swede and to Father Ray. But before I say adieu, I want to say hello to the Beard of Knowledge. Is the Swede on?
Well, sure.
Hey, Tom. Good to hear your voice.
Good evening, Mr. Knowledge. How are you?
I'm just getting along. You know how that goes.
Well, yeah, you heard it at the top of the hour. A change is going to come.
This is true.
So So therefore, do we back up the train and get on it, or do we just wave goodbye as the train leaves the station? That's the question for you today, Mr. Knowledge. Give me your answer.
Of course, you know, I've been kind of saying that all along. Everything's getting so far out of hand and so weird that they need to stop the train and back it up, and let's get back to some, you know, where we passed that last switch and took the wrong road. We need to back up, flip the switch, and go back where we're supposed to be going.
Yeah. Well, words I've never spoken. You're exactly right. Boy, oh boy, I'll tell you. By the way, folks, in case you didn't know it, it was mandated today. California is the first state in the union that has demanded that all of our teachers in all of our schools show that they've been vaccinated, or before they come to school every day, they take a test and they show that they do not have COVID. I'm just shocked about that, to know that we have educators out there that who have not been inoculated. But that's not for me to say, and that's for another show. We do Bigfoot here, okay? So I just want to say a shout-out to State Electric Generators. And stay tuned, folks, because starting next week, I'm going to give you a blow-by-blow about these generators, what they do for our people, and when we need them the most, because I'm a proud owner of one now, okay? So without any further ado, I want to bring on Mr. Rockstar. You there?
Yes, I am.
Good. And you know what? You sound a little sober today, thank God.
I just didn't get dirty enough start.
Okay, good. And Father Ray, you out there?
He is.
I'm here.
Okay, Ray, try to stay awake, Ray, and get off the
wine.
Hey,
if we're doing a roadblock check, Father Ray, you sober?
Yeah, oh, right, yes. Exactly. And Will, you sit there, direct the ship along with Mr. Knowledge himself, the Swede. Ladies and gentlemen.
Is he sober?
He is. And I'll see you guys next week. Take it over, Rockstar. It's all yours, brother. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Tom.
Night, Tom.
And so how are you, Mr. Will?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm where we left off. You know where my mind sticks. I leave it where we leave it.
Rocky, Father Ray here, do we have to break for a commercial?
We can.
We need to.
Here we go.
1967.
Democracy.
My whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I got to tell you, that's the day I thought I was going to challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, convinced them I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Thank you. Bigfoot Lives, the movie, at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back.
Okay. I'm here.
Well,
I'm here.
Sir. Well, I was thinking. Well, go ahead.
I'm
go
sorry?
Ahead,
no,
sir, go ahead.
Well, you know, we have talked about, you know, Bigfoot, and you was talking about the name. The name's only been here for, you know, a few decades, but me and you kind of...
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Me and you kind of looked, and we found that in my state of Arkansas, it wasn't a Bigfoot. It was called a Wild Man back in...
Well, yeah.
The 1840s.
1840s and... And we've got reports in Maine in 1858 of a Bigfoot being shot and killed, and something they used in those days, just like today. There's you know, there's terms that go with Bigfoot sightings. There's commonalities, we'll call them, right? Back then,
mm-hmm.
they had a golden down. Or a reddish down. Use the term down a lot, meaning a full hairy torso. They were hairy. They had a coat. And some of the wild men we touched base on were men who went wild in those old primitive days. They would end up out in the woods. And you can do a lot of research about pioneers living in trees. I forget the kind of tree. It's a really big tree, and they tend to grow with holes in them. George Washington made reports about them, and people would literally make houses in these big gaps that these trees created, right? And so they would every now and then find a guy who was like out in the wilderness. I guess, you know, his whole family, something bad happened, and he at a very young age. And we were using the term feral. It's fair enough, isn't it? He went feral. They went feral. But then you have within these reports, too, of wild men. With the golden down, or the red down, and 6 to 9 foot tall, some of them. One was killed in Maine, and like you said, and I'd like to go there because I know you saw the stuff. Arkansas's had so many reports going back to the 1840s, pre-Civil War, and of course, all the news drops off during the Civil War, and it doesn't pick up again until a good handful of years after, when the papers are getting over the aftermath, Jayhawkers and whatever they used to call it. You know, the war carried on afterwards, kind of.
Right.
Especially in the newspapers. But then you get up into the 1880s, 90s, you start seeing these reports again. In Arkansas, you know, I was just looking for early American stories. And you guys were a hotbed, man. You were a hotbed. Absolutely.
Well,
and the hardest part I've had is finding colonial stories. But anyway, on that note, Arkansas is a hotbed going back to at least the early 1840s.
Right. The I don't know what year the Madrid fault, the New Madrid earthquake hit along the edge of Missouri and Arkansas, but there was reports after that of a guy who had literally gone feral. after the earthquake, because you know everything he had was gone, and well, they don't know if he just if he went crazy or just went wild. But like I say, I don't remember what year the New Madrid earthquake happened, but.
Well, now the New Madrid earthquake affected all the way to where I'm at now. I mean, it made the rivers run backward. It was big.
Yeah, right.
The Mississippi
right.
River.
Yeah,
the Mississippi
man.
River ran backwards.
That's right. So there's lakes all the way to Tennessee that weren't there one day and were there the next. It really effed some stuff up. It changed the map. It was a big one. But now, that whole feral thing goes back to colonial days of people. There were people, there's stories, some of the earliest diaries were kept by women traveling. And let's go back to a time before you had a gap, which is where I'm at. I'm at gaps that let people go west, right? So you had old Virginia. And Virginia was just America. Coming from the old country, England, as it were. You know, the Spaniards were here first, you know, Florida, St. Augustine, like all these things. But I'm saying, like, the American history, we know all the pilgrim stuff and Thanksgiving and all that stuff aside. That history book, okay, when you had cats coming here, man, and Johnny Appleseed's a part of that too, believe it or not. It's real
right.
stuff. Anyway. You had people coming here, and you get reports of people traveling and talking about people, a man and, like, two daughters, a man and a woman, a man alone, and, like, just throwing a thatch together on the side of a riverbank and couldn't afford nails or, you know, something to hold it together. And so, like, that concept of men going what we're calling in the modern sense feral, wild men. It once you start delving into that in your Bigfoot research, you are going to find what Rocky's point now is: men going wild, going feral, in our modern sense. Right? They have turned wild. They're living out there by themselves. Some of them lost the ability to speak. They have went wild. Story in the Arkansas area of a man that was, they say in the articles, captured. You know, they're using terms like this, caged. And he talked about coming from north, like where he landed from New York to down, which was, even if you know how history works, you're crossing boundaries because you had colonies. That were like countries in the sense. And he was talking about being in those woods since he was 6 years old, and he was estimating 30. And you can only imagine what happened. We killed mom, dad, the cousin, his sisters, his brothers. But you get a lot of those stories about the wild men. So you're going through the shaft to find stories of the auburn-haired or downed men of, and I'm willing to think they exaggerated heights because we've touched this on earlier shows. The most common males sightings to be even man size, like 8 foot is a big something, you know. So like early Bigfoots, even Bigfoot stories today, you're looking at 6 foot, 7 foot, females, children, things like that. We went this to debunk that it had to be 16 feet tall, and I'm over-exaggerating, but you get my point.
Well, you know, there is actually tales of guys that were basically that tall.
Oh, I know. And the one they killed in Maine, they said, was 12 foot. I'm just pointing out when they use certain terminologies, they're talking about
right.
someone with an extra amount of hair, no language, and I'm trying to differentiate between those concepts of all those wild man stories, because it was quite common for men and people in general to get lost in the new
right.
world out in the wilderness, you know. And
well, you know, there's
raised
I'm wanting to say it was in Canada and Alaska. There was the Aborigines there in that area that some of them, you know, they're the test of manhood, all of that thing, that they would send young men out, and they were meant to stay out for, you know, a certain period of time, pretty long period of time, and, you know, to prove their manhood, you know, they go out with nothing. And there were people who said that some of those went just feral. Just, they were wild men. And they were seen.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. Yeah, that's a big distinction because of the new world. And, you know, the Native American stories from the East Coast and white men jumping ship even. I mean, it's a different history. We have to relearn and study things that they don't necessarily teach to understand the politics of the day, how these things work. But what I'm really getting at and what I really find interesting is like that story in Maine. There's two in Arkansas that hit around pre-Civil War. And they use the term down, which is, we all know what that term means in hunting.
Right.
It's covered in hair. Treating these stories like a feral man, like what we're calling it, or a wild
no.
man. No,
right.
They're treating it as a beast man. And Father Ray, this is something that we've touched on, and you know I love coming back around. You know I love
yeah.
it. Because the green man, and we touched on, there are churches in Europe where the effigies that are like all over the ceilings and in the corners and on the pillars, they would work the green man in the early churches. And this is pagan thought, but they're there for whatever
mm-hmm.
reason. And we can, you know, debate or talk about why they're there. You know, some would say the construction, the masons that were building that stuff were pagan. So I've heard stories in Europe that they were building their own gods and their own effigies into the building so that they could worship secretly in a sense. But I say it's more than that. I say it's deeper than that. I say the Christian religion is representing this. One of my best examples that I can think of is in Scotland. The church in Scotland has corn and other mm-hmm. things carved into the walls. They also have a green man.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, going back to, you know, you have the early ages, the Middle Ages. And then you have around the 14 to the 1500s where English would almost be recognizable to us. And then you have something mm-hmm. called the vowel shift where, like, I'll give you an example. The word meat, like we're going to eat meat, would be
mm-hmm.
met.
Mm-hmm.
The
right.
vowel shift in English. Shakespeare, around the time of the King James Bible, you know, the
mm-hmm.
same... The dialectic change in how we pronounce English. So
mm-hmm.
you can only back
yes,
and understand even what people are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But that wild man and what they call the green man or the wild man, persists all the way back to biblical, and we touched on it a little bit, and it came with us in the Scots and the Irish.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Native Americans had a version too, and the word Sasquatch is a Canadian word because every Native American had a dialect that had a word for the wild men. And then
mm-hmm.
we have these reports that are showing up in early newspapers all the way back to Ben Franklin of not just feral men. Because America, I'm just pointing out, America had a problem with that, with men getting lost and children and becoming very animalistic, very, very feral, wild.
Yes.
And to divide that, I think, and the mythos to where I'm saying that a Scotsman from his history, if he's in the woods and he saw a hairy beast-like creature, man, he's got a representation of it already from his grandma
mm-hmm.
and where he came from because of the green man. And again, like I said, going back to the Middle Ages, when we first had our first understandable English, so many of those churches.
Yes. It's true. There, English is a Germanic language, but it is so influenced by French and Latin and Danish, and its early English was a dialect of German, and the German that was spoken again, wouldn't have been recognizable to a present-day German speaker. But languages develop, and English did go its own way. Yes, the word shield is that it's not what we, the it was, it means child, shield. So there were, so languages changed. The green man, some human bipedal kind of creature roaming the woods, a man having gone feral. We use the term here today, feral horses. There are horses that people, Native American and Navajos, were doing raising of sheep, and they had horses and things. Now they get many people are getting away from sheep herding, and it also many people are giving up their herds of cattle. My friend Myron, he goes out to round up his cattle, not on a horse. He goes on an ATV. And rounds up the cattle. So consequently, when people gave up their herding of sheep, they sold their herds. The horses just roamed off on their own, and they reproduce as creatures will do, and you have a population of feral horses that ride around. So the term feral is someone or some creature that's gone native, gone back to living off the land, and so for some people in colonial times, having gotten lost, separated, maybe banished from the colony for one reason or another, and they go off and being left alone for long enough, they will lose language. They will their clothes will wear away. What do they cover themselves in? Green. It's understandable. It can happen. Heck, we have there's a story here about the Zunis after Coronado defeated the Zunis, such as it were, but he took over Holona, and he was wounded, and then he took off to go into the Great Plains and came back, and they found in one of the Zuni houses an altar, a Catholic altar that a priest would celebrate Mass at. Where's the priest? Who would have, well, could there have been a priest who came by and went native? It's possible. For human beings, for creatures to go native, yeah, it's not a stretch of the imagination. And these creatures that you see in the cathedrals of Europe, the gargoyles, they were there to scare away evil spirits. Was the depiction of so stories of bipedal creatures roaming the woods of Europe and were being clothed in green. Okay, because they were they lived in the woods. And what did they have to cover themselves with? Leaves, vine, and okay. And so that would they.
A mythos of being, I don't know the term, I don't want to say extraordinary. I'll say extraordinary.
It's extraordinary.
Bigfoot.
Yes. Could
that was the distinction I was trying to draw.
Yes. The Bigfoot creature, is this a descendant? Is this creature a descendant of someone who went out into the woods, went native, forgot human speech, would have had to have found a female to mate with and to produce offspring, and be these people living in the woods, living a very physical life, being forced to do various things, to hunt, to gather and to hunt, to bring down creatures to survive on, would they have grown? Would their muscles have grown larger?
Absolutely. And selective breeding.
Well,
nature.
At the same time, you're talking about the finding a mate. There's been a number of times that people have said that a Bigfoot had taken stolen women.
Yeah.
Bigfoot has stolen children.
Children, mm-hmm. Women, yeah.
Yeah, true. That's part of our history here. Different Native American groups go raid on another Native American group, and you take their corn, you take their women, their children, their jewelry. You don't kill them completely, though. You don't annihilate the group because you got to leave some so that they'll plant next time, for next year. For some of these men or bipedal humanoid creatures to go and to go into a hacienda and raid it take a woman and take a child or something and take it into his lifestyle and they become like him and their speech goes by the wayside and it can
Man, we have come to the end of the show. Everybody remember where we were at and meet again here next Wednesday night for the mm-hmm. Searching for Bigfoot show. Father Ray, Will,
yep.
Swede, everybody. Miss
Absolutely.
Lee, thank everybody for coming on. We'll pick it up again next Wednesday night.
Very good.
Very okay. good.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination.